It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's already May 9th and 10th. Where did April go? Depending on when you're listening to this, if you're listening to this on Saturday, May 9th, this show airs at 9:05, and if you're listening to the rebroadcast on Saturday, May 10th, it is at 7:05. I know everybody's been really busy because of COVID-19, practicing the new social distancing and all sorts of new processes, both at your workplace and meeting up with your family. I know, for example, in my case, every other Saturday I have a large Zoom family conference, and at work it's turned into basically everything is on WebEx, and in our particular case as a dental insurance company, we have to monitor when dentists will be able to go back to work. As of this taping, dentists in general are only allowed to see emergency treatments, and that hopefully will be changing, but that requires a lot of new infection control standards, and some of this, Dr. Joe Arante will be chatting with us this weekend. So this is a very relevant show. What I try to do, candidly, audience, is balance being somewhat normal in abnormal times with the reality is you're probably, mostly interested in our profession, the dental space, as it relates to the coronavirus or so-called COVID-19. So with me, as I mentioned, is Dr. Joe Arante. He is our Vice President of Provider Network and Clinical Strategies, and prior to that was the CEO of a subsidiary that's right here in Concord, although it has virtual employees all across the country, in particular Seattle, called Previsor, which is a software company that when you do go back to your dentist, and ultimately some of you may recall when you got your cleaning, the hygienist put you through a series of questions and measurements, and then voila, you got a score of 1, 2, 3, or 4, or 5. And in our case, Northeast Delta Dental's health or wellness or HOW program, if your score was 3, 4, or 5, you were potentially eligible for additional benefits such as a third or fourth cleaning in a calendar year. So Joe had experience defining that company, and then right now has a pretty heavy job at Northeast Delta Dental before COVID, and even more so now. So, Dr. Joe, why don't you also talk about your very robust career, which includes teaching at Columbia University, running a dental practice, also running the dental operation at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Massachusetts in Boston, and many other things. So just to kind of, not that you need to, but maybe for the listening audience that doesn't know you, maybe sort of define your bio for them, and then we'll get right into today's topic in terms of what patients might expect to be different as they begin going back to the dentist.
Sure, Tom. I had a little bit of a wake-up call this past year because I went to my 40th dental school reunion.
Oh, geez.
And the time had really flown by. I couldn't believe it was 40 years already. And everybody else looked quite a bit older. I've pretty much stayed the same. I wish. But anyway, so I have run systems of dental care, systems of health care, as well as insurance companies, and spent some time in academia as the Dean for Clinical Affairs at Columbia University, and had some teaching experience and some data science experience there. It was very interesting. And so I come with a view of the dental profession from being a clinician, being a provider on the provider side of it, as well as on the insurance side, which gives me a lot of interesting and kind of cool perspectives on being able to see both sides of it and understand the challenges of both sides. So it's helped me in my role currently at Northeast Delta Dental because many of the challenges, I can understand what the providers are going through and have a unique perspective on that.
Great. Well, thank you, and we're so blessed. Joe's heard me say this many times that his position at and Delta Dental member companies. And just as a reminder, everybody, we're a separate company, Northeast Delta Dental, separate from Delta Dental Plan of Mass, and we're separate from Delta Dental of Minnesota, and we're separate from Delta Dental of California. But we do get together and exchange, best practices, and to use the brand Delta Dental, there are certain service requirements. But the hardest position to fill, professional position to fill in the system, is getting someone like Dr. Joe, who has the business experience that he described, but also has the credibility of once being an active, practitioner. So I'd like to say that we actively recruited Joe, and based on my charisma or bribes or whatever, he came to Concord. But really, it was because his family moved to Concord, and you have two grandchildren here now, right?
Yeah, two grandsons now.
That's awesome. So hopefully, as long as they don't move, Northeast Delta Dental, and specifically Concord and New Hampshire, will really be blessed with Dr. Joe's expertise. So as we record this, we don't really know exactly when patients will be able to return for regular visits. It could be as soon as May 11th. It could be May 18th. It was a very sophisticated task force that the governor put together that had many stakeholders, dentists, hygienists, and others, to determine when safely could patients come back for regular visits. Right now, based on guidance from the American Dental Association and the CDC and the New Hampshire Board of Dental Examiners, and guidance from the governor's task force, we're still, as I record this, seeing just emergency treatments. But let's assume for the moment that whether it's May 11th, May 18th, May 25th, or somewhere in between, that in a measured way, patients can go back for regular visits. What would be different from a patient's perspective? I'm thinking that people, I think, hopefully realize that certain things have to be different. We now go to a restaurant, we just pick up, we buy a car, we drive, we pick up the keys, we don't stop in. So whatever the equivalent of a dental office, certainly in the waiting room and other areas. But why don't you give your vision of how you see, since we're still in the messy middle of COVID-19, the dental office and changes to make sure that everything is safe for returning.
Well, I think, it's important to realize that dentists have been kind of at the forefront of disinfecting their offices and dealing with infectious diseases ever since the 80s with HIV, when that first got discovered. And so they are quite expert, typically, at doing this. Now, COVID-19, because it's a different type of infection or transmits in a different way, is going to take a few extra things, as we all know. And so it's likely that when we get back to routine care, but even with the emergency care, it's not unlikely that when you try to make an appointment that you may get asked a few questions that you're not used to, that have to do with how you feel, fever, chills, achiness, trouble breathing, things like that. And they're basically questions about symptoms for COVID-19. And they want to assess the dental office will be wanting to assess the possibility that you've been exposed to it and you have the disease. Not that that precludes you from getting care necessarily, but it just requires a different level of infection management to keep you safe. And the dental office is very focused on keeping you safe as well as themselves. And another thing you may find is that once you get there, they may repeat the questions. They may take your temperature. The other thing that you'll notice, if you're socially distancing within the reception area, you might not find reading materials or magazines or things like that that you would normally see, or toys for children that you would normally see, because any opportunities to transmit the virus, they've kind of been advised to take away. The other very strong possibility is you may be asked to socially distance by waiting for your appointment in your car, and they'll text you. So a few differences that we're not used to today that might happen. You'll also probably notice that the staff will have even more protection than you would normally see. You're used to seeing surgical masks. You're used to seeing gloves. What you may see in addition now, because of the way COVID transmits itself, is you may see gowns that they're wearing, shoe coverings perhaps, head coverings, and you'll probably see a face shield, which is something that is not as commonly used or was not as commonly used before. So there's a whole bunch of things that are going to be new, but they are all for your safety. And dentists have always been at the forefront of keeping patients as well as their staffs safe. And it's very important. I would say the other piece that I want to make sure that people understand is that while we've been under a stay-at-home conditions, the diseases that oral health diseases, gum disease and tooth decay, have not been on holiday. They have continued to progress. So it is important when you feel comfortable to get back into your normal routine of care and know that things might be a little different at the office, and they're pretty much all designed for keeping you and the staff and everybody involved in your dental care safe.
And Dr. Joe makes a good point there, because we have done a survey of all of our dentists and random survey of our citizens that have our coverage. And it varies. You know, I would say the vast majority of dentists want to get back to work. They want to make sure, though, it's safe, of course, for themselves, their hygienists, and their other colleagues. It varies, too, in terms of people's willingness to jump back to the dental office. Some will go immediately, and some maybe want to wait. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio. It's hard to believe it's already May 16th and 17th, depending on when you're listening to this. And that with me is the acclaimed, the nationally recognized Dr. Joe Arante, who lives right here in Concord. We won't divulge his street address because people would probably want to pick his brain. And one of the things that Joe was saying right before commercial break was that while dentists could only see emergencies during this messy middle of COVID-19, and it was roughly, these are rough figures, but roughly between March 16th and on Friday, May 8th, but as Joe said, dental disease does not take a holiday. And the ironic thing I always felt is that the great thing about dental insurance, dental health, oral health, our mission, is that it's always been preventative-based. We want people to go to the dentist. In fact, we have that Health Rural Wellness Program, you know, that I referenced, that basically is encouraging even more utilization of going to the dentist. So it's always been preventative-based, and in dental, the expression, an ounce of prevention is worth so much more, you know, than the actual, you know, getting your filling and whatever. But as during this month and a half period where people could only be seen for emergencies, something that might not have been an emergency may have become an emergency, or let's put it this way, you know, a gum issue, braces falling off and things like that. So tell us again, Joe, what you were expressing there. Like, in other words, we totally get the fact why it had to be limited to emergencies during that roughly March 16th through the first week in May. But tell us what was going on in the mouth during that month and a half, even if you didn't have a toothache or anything.
Well, gum disease in particular is kind of a silent disease. It progresses in a silent way. You often don't have any symptoms or signs that you as a layperson might be aware of until it's pretty far gone. Tooth decay, we typically get some sensitivity right away. We kind of, if a tooth breaks and it's because of decay, we kind of know that it broke and there's a problem there. And usually there's a little bit of discomfort with it. Gum disease, though, can easily progress during this last couple of months without a lot of impact on your daily life. And unfortunately, but fortunately, I guess, gum disease is the component of oral health that's probably the most connected to overall health. Not that tooth decay isn't, but gum disease has been implicated in diabetes, and not causing diabetes, but making diabetes harder to control if you have a lot of inflammation in your mouth, a lot of gum disease. And so probably, and kind of coincidentally, diabetes is one of the comorbidities or one of the things that puts you at higher risk for COVID-19, having a worst case of COVID-19 and having, you know, potential hospitalization and problems with it. And so it's important that as soon as you feel comfortable, and you should feel comfortable to ask questions of your dentist about what they're doing to protect you from a safety perspective, but, you know, it's probably pretty imperative that you get back and get back into your normal routine, particularly on the gum disease. Tooth decay as well, because obviously the tooth decay progresses, and if it progresses far enough, it ends up needing a root canal and a crown and other more expensive and time-consuming treatments, whereas if it gets caught earlier, you might be able to just get a filling. So it's all these diseases, they're chronic conditions, they progress, and we want to catch them as early as we can. And certainly we want to prevent them if we can.
And we've come, you know, as you know, Joe, I mean, between fluoridated water and all of our preventative based processes, we've come so far. And even before COVID-19, you know, there were still pockets of, you know, underserved population. There's a famous book, and listening audience, you may want to get it on Amazon, but it's called Teeth by Mary Otto. And she is a newspaper reporter, now author, in the Washington, D.C. area, and basically was writing the story of the young man who died of a tooth infection ultimately, and basically it was going to just be a short article. And then she recognized what you and I know, Joe, that there is a huge underserved population, as an example, and we've been trying the last couple of years, and I think we're getting there, is the Medicaid population in New Hampshire, for example. There's no adult dental benefit, so a lot of people are results in, you know, medical conditions that maybe could have been prevented had they been regularly going, you know, to the dentist. And so what Mary Otto discovered, and I'm referring, of course, to the famous DeMonte Driver case, that there is these sort of, you know, underserved, you know, populations, and if you don't take care of your teeth, while generally it's not going to be deadly, it can be. And of course, it's also a drain on the emergency room system, because if you're in agony over your teeth and you can't get to a dentist, you're probably going to end up in the emergency room. So hopefully, the return to, let's put it this way, the ability to go to the dentist for regular procedures, that we get that going, fairly soon. So, thank you, Joe. That was a really good, you know, explanation. And if you were a dentist and you've been sort of following all this, I mean, you now work with us and you have many, many responsibilities, and you touch base with, you know, different dental practices. What's kind of the And we have a lot of numbers on this, but what's kind of your feel for how dentists are thinking right now?
Well, I mean, they're itching to get back to take care of their patients. They've been doing emergency care, but really being able to do the minimum amount of care possible. And they, you know, when you go in for an emergency, they're taking a look around and they're seeing that other conditions are progressing, and they want to, you know, the natural instinct is to want to prevent that, because you know what kind of discomfort it causes and what kind of problems down the road it causes, and you know you can deal with something today and get it taken care of, but your hands are tied a little bit. So I think they're all anxious to get back to a more normal time and taking care of their patients, and I think they have some concerns about all the things that they have to do to be in a position to keep everybody safe, but concerned in a healthy way, concerned in the way of wanting to understand, getting the best guidance from all of our CDC and American Dental Association and following through on all of it.
And I think you made a point at the very top of the show is that dentists have been pretty expert in infection control since day one and then heightened, you know, in the HIV scares in the 80s and 90s. So they've probably starting with a predisposition to understanding the importance of infection control. And yes, I would agree with you. The statistics indicate that dentists are in a measured way, but they are anxious to get back, you know, to serve their patients because they are really into the oral health mission. So that's a good summary. So we're going to end on a lighter note, Joe. We have a couple minutes, and I'm always asked this. I'm going to do the sort of what I call the Dr. Joe lightning round. Toothpaste. You go socially distanced now to a drugstore or supermarket, and there's still dozens of different varieties. What are we looking for in toothpaste?
Well, there's really number one thing to look for is fluoride in the toothpaste, and if you have sensitive teeth, there are sensitive toothpaste that are pretty effective at managing sensitive teeth if they're sensitive for particular reasons. If they're sensitive because of dental disease, they don't work as well, but I would say the number one thing is fluoride.
All right. Floss. One, I know personally, and I'm not prejudging the question here, but I've done a lot better job flossing since I started using the floss on a stick, so to speak. So flossing, which I know most people get that they need to brush their teeth at least twice a day. Flossing, sometimes I think maybe people go astray with it, but is there any one type of floss that's better than another?
Well, it kind of depends on the anatomy of your teeth and how tight they are together. If you have a lot of sharp edges on your teeth and you find that when you use regular floss, it frays, waxed floss sometimes makes it less frustrating for you. But unwaxed floss is probably the most effective. And there are some very fine flosses, and I usually prefer the regular one. But if you have very tight spots between your teeth, sometimes the finer one makes it less frustrating. So whatever works in your hands that makes it less frustrating. And I think I've mentioned it before that the bacteria, the bugs that cause dental decay, take about 24 hours to colonize, to create little colonies where they have these byproducts that break down the tooth structure. And it's really important to floss at least once a day, if not a couple of times a day, because if you're disrupting those colonies every 24 hours, they never really get to form the byproducts that destroy the teeth. And so that's why we always tell people to floss at least once a day. It's very important to disrupt the colonization of the bacteria.
That's the best explanation I've ever heard of flossing. I mean that, disrupting colonization. Final question, manual toothbrush or electric toothbrush?
Well, I'm old school, so I like manual toothbrushes as long as they're soft bristle and that you don't put too much pressure, although there are several electric toothbrushes that are very effective. In fact, we're in a split family here. My wife uses a I use a regular old-fashioned toothbrush, and she uses an electric one, so both of them work very well. The important thing is at least a couple of minutes each time you brush.
And usually, and that's a great answer, and when sometimes I have your colleagues on, and you pretty much said this, you know, whatever gets you to brush regularly, that's what you should use. So thank you for that. Dr. Joe Arante, we're so blessed in Concord, specifically Northeast Delta Dental, even more specifically, and New Hampshire generally, to have you right in our community. Congratulations on joining the team of New Hampshire and also soon enough, you know, completing Leadership New Hampshire. Thank you, Dr. Joe.
All right, thank you.